Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 4th of September, the opening day of the Democratic National Convention. The presidential historian Douglas Brinkley of Rice University has said Barack Obama has an acute sense of history. He wants to be remembered as a great president, not a civil rights icon. He wants to be an equal of Theodore Roosevelt and Franklin Roosevelt. He doesn't want a special nod to history because of race. What he wants now, of course, is four more years. And as the convention will begin today in Charlotte, North Carolina, we'll ask whether or not he should have another 4 years and what case needs to be made during the next 3 days in Charlotte for the American people to decide that he should have another 4 years. What have been the president's accomplishments? What would he like to accomplish? Has he outlined that? Should he outline that in the next 4 years if he is reelected? We'll have several guests with us, joining us by phone from Charlotte, North Carolina, where each of our guests is covering the Democratic National Convention. We'll begin with David DeWitt, Raleigh Bureau Chief for North Carolina Public Radio. Later this hour, Melissa Harris-Perry, host of MSNBC's Melissa Harris-Perry. She's a professor of political science at Tulane University, and she will be joining us from Charlotte. We'll be welcoming your phone calls as we always do. What case does the president need to make this week? What have been his accomplishments? What should he concentrate on in a campaign? Should he be reelected? Those are all the big questions. Our phone number, as always, is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email, if you would like to use that method of communication, is talk@wpr.org. And you can always go to our Facebook page. It's always interesting to read your comments. Should they be on the air or not, we can go to Facebook after the show and see how you answer all of those questions. We start with David DeWitt, Raleigh Bureau Chief for North Carolina Public Radio. Hello, Dave.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us. Why don't you start by giving us a rundown of the people you are most excited to listen to tonight?
Well, I think everybody's excited to listen to First Lady Michelle Obama tonight. You know, here in North Carolina, a lot of folks from around the state are speaking sort of before prime time. And I'll say that I think one of the more interesting speakers tonight, and he'll give a very short welcome, is Anthony Fox, who's the mayor of Charlotte. He's very popular in this town. He considered a run for governor in North Carolina, chose not to do that this year. He's got a sort of a long legacy of really dynamic African-American leaders here in this part of the state, and a lot of people are predicting very big things for him. So I'm very interested in hearing Anthony Fox. It'll be a short welcome, but a lot of folks see how Charlotte presents itself during this convention as a sort of a marker for how he may end up sort of elevating himself onto the national political stage in the not-too-distant future.
Hmm. And there's someone else who may be doing the same, the mayor of San Antonio.
Right, and that's, you know, it sort of speaks to the big tent, if you will, of the Democratic Party. You know, just walking through the streets of Charlotte the last couple of days, going to some of the delegate breakfasts in the mornings at the various hotels, you know, you see just a much different convention that was being held in Tampa last week. It's an amazing sort of array of people, a very diverse group. You know, that can be a difficult thing politically at times, but even, you know, during the protests that were here in Charlotte on Sunday, you saw a diverse opinion. A lot of people had a lot of problems with some of the things that have happened, particularly decisions that President Obama has made. But it was interesting to talk to some of the protesters who would say, well, yeah, I may disagree with the president, but I'm still going to vote for him. So it's, you know, I think the mayor of San Antonio, Mayor Fox, other folks speaking tonight, it shows to the diversity of the Democratic Party, you know, racially, but also in terms of ideas and moving forward.
Mm-hmm. In some of the analysis I was listening to yesterday, there was an idea that if women can be really solidified, and if you can add to the number of women who will vote, increase that gender gap, the president can win that election. Will the convention reflect that? Will there be a number of women speakers?
You know, that's been an interesting point here in the first couple of days at a lot of the events that I've attended. You know, if it isn't the first point that's made, it's the second point that's made is the gender gap and the the real benefit that President Obama has in reaching women and the platform that the Democrats have adopted or will adopt, that gender gap has been spoken about at state delegations, you know, here in North Carolina, all the way, you know, throughout the Midwest and everywhere else. And that's something I think that the Democrats are really pointing to with this convention, is to get the bump coming out of it, not so much maybe in the overall, because people know who President Obama is, and we may not see polls move a great deal coming out of here, but within women or within that group of women voters, the enthusiasm level is really high, and I think you'll see that as they move into the sort of ground game in the last 6 weeks or so before the election, you're going to see that movement go toward really pushing to try to attract women voters and to register new women voters if they haven't registered already. That's certainly the case here in North Carolina, where the gender gap is smaller here in this state, in this battleground state, than it is in some others. But that's something, the one area that they think they can exploit in this state is to try to get undecided women to President Obama's
call. Mm-hmm. And if that's the second thing that people are mentioning, what's the first thing?
I think the first thing is just in general, particularly in this city, it has to do with just the enthusiasm and taking that enthusiasm level to the grassroots, because President Obama is trailing Republican Mitt Romney in the amount of dollars available to be on television, and certainly with the super PACs and outside influences, you know, there's a big money gap there. But where he's got a benefit, and this state is a prime example of that, he never really closed his ground game or his offices across the state from 2008. In Raleigh and Charlotte, he kept his offices open. He's got a tremendous benefit here and in other battleground states like Florida and Pennsylvania, and there in Wisconsin, he's got a benefit of having people on the ground who've been working since day one and have been developing relationships with people across the state. That ramps up, obviously, between now and November. But that's the first thing people talk about, is let's take this convention and move it to the streets and to the rural areas of this state and across the country and get the ground game going.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how he is likely and should it behoove the Democrats to come up with a plan to ease unemployment. The economy, of course, is front and center in this campaign. The unemployment rate is still very, very high for this president. It got as high as 10%. It's now 8.3%. The August job numbers will be coming out, I believe, the day after the convention, and indications are that they may not be great, although we might be surprised. How should he address this, and how difficult an issue is this for him to take on to win re-election?
You know, this was a big question. I had a chance to speak with Patrick Gaspard, the executive director of the Democratic National Committee, this morning, and this is a big question. And his point was that the job numbers, while they play big in the media and those kinds of things, it's really more about reaching voters who are, have a mood they may not feel better than they did 4 years ago, but it could have been exponentially worse. And that's sort of the message I'm hearing from Democrats, and I think you'll hear from President Obama as the week goes along, is that he's going to point to a lot of the things he's done in foreign relations and all those other things. When he gets the economy, from Democrats here on the ground already, you hear a lot of, it could have been much worse. Here are the things he saved. Here are the things that that are not going to be, that would not have been saved had there been a different administration in place. And moving forward, while the economy, is stagnating and we're not seeing a tremendous bump up, it is getting a little bit better. And in North Carolina, unemployment has been a solid point or a point and a half above the national average. That makes they chose the site of this convention, a long time ago. But even then, North Carolina's economy was sort of trailing behind the rest of the country. They'd hoped to sort of unlock the South a little bit more, I think, with this Democratic convention being here, with the economy hitting this state hard like it has in other places, but even harder maybe, and especially how hard it's hit African Americans in this state. African Americans make up almost a quarter of the voting population here. The unemployment in the African American community in North Carolina is somewhere north of 18-20%. And so but those folks, African Americans, are going for him in the latest poll, 89% to 1% for Mitt Romney, and so you're seeing him. I think you're going to see the Democrats hit the it could have been worse and here's how it's going to get better message. At least that's what I'm hearing from Democrats on the ground here this week.
For those of us who follow this closely, and it was hard for anybody who was alive and over the age of 10 to not remember the incredible enthusiasm, the historic nature of 2008. It was quite an event in American history. There's been some talk that that enthusiasm is not there this year, and that obviously who goes to vote is most important here. Will he be able to get people at least as a little bit as enthused as they were in 2008?
Yeah, in 2008, I covered, you know, half a dozen or so events that President Obama made here in North Carolina, and they were drawing 30, 40,000 people.
Goodness.
To some of the downtown areas in Greensboro and Raleigh. You know, he has been here a couple of times. He hasn't been here, you know, in the last – we'll see how that goes in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, but Bank of America Stadium here is sold out. They're expecting 80,000 people in the stadium to hear him speak Thursday night. I don't think anybody would – claim that the enthusiasm level is as high or the historic nature is the same. But you see a more resolution among Democrats. The enthusiasm is ramping up. It hasn't been there to this point. But you're seeing it. You're seeing it somewhat downtown the last couple of days in the convention. They're expecting, and I'm hearing this from everybody who's sort of organizing the event, I'm hearing they expect a raucous convention. They expect a convention that will look dramatically different from the one in Tampa. And I will say that the arena it's in is sort of unique in that it's a very, although it holds 15,000 to 17,000 people, it feels very intimate in there as opposed to other arenas. So you're going to feel an event, I think. I don't know how that will play on television, which obviously is vastly more important than how it plays inside the arena.
Right.
But there will be an enthusiasm level. They're expecting it to be an enthusiasm level that will they hope will be dramatically different than what was last week in Tampa. But on the ground, we're seeing some of that enthusiasm, but not anywhere near what it was in 2008.
It's interesting that these offices, the Obama offices, are still open and have been for the past 4 years. Do the Republicans have a significant ground game in North Carolina as well?
Not anywhere near.
Really?
No, the Democrats have you know, they kept their offices open in sort of the major cities here in Raleigh, Greensboro, and Charlotte. And since, you know, in the last couple months, the Democrats have opened offices in towns across the state, some as small as just 10, 20,000 people. I believe their goal was to open offices in all 100 counties of the state of North Carolina. I don't know if they've gotten there yet. But Republicans have opened offices in just a few of the major cities. The Republican strategy in this state, to anybody who, with a television, has been a sort of carpet bombing, if you will, of television ads. I mean, the number of television ads in North Carolina, because it's a battleground state, has been remarkable. And even though it was interesting at some events yesterday where people were talking sort of about the horse race and the strategy, the Romney camp believes that this state sort of leans Romney. He has a 4 to 5 point lead depending on what poll you look at. But the Obama campaign can sort of keep Romney spending money here in terms of TV ads for the next several weeks at least, or maybe the next month and a half or so. You know, President Obama may not win this state. He's going to be very competitive, and Mitt Romney's going to have to spend money to win it. And quite frankly, Mitt Romney can't win the presidency without winning North Carolina, but President Obama can win the presidency without winning North Carolina. It's a battleground state in that way. It may not end up being sort of as vital as, say, your Ohio's and Pennsylvania's and Florida's, but it's going to be a place where a lot of money is spent. Mm-hmm. The Romney campaign strategy is going to be spend it on TV, and the Democrats' strategy, President Obama's strategy, is going to be the ground game.
You talked about the money gap. How significant, how large is the money gap, and how important is it to have a lot of money here?
Well, we heard the number at a couple of events yesterday that upwards of $5 billion could be spent between the end of this convention and Election Day.
Goodness.
And that is just remarkable to think about.
I know.
And what some people, you know, a lot of analysts and certainly anybody who you talk to here in North Carolina, they are so completely tired of TV ads. It's hard to imagine, really, that TV ads at this point, and I'm speaking for North Carolina, but I would assume it's probably the same in battleground states across the country.
Oh, it's the same here.
But who do you know that is going to see these ads and say, okay, I'm undecided and the TV ads are going to sway me? A couple of analysts, you know, Charlie Cook with the Cook Report and some other folks, really believe that the money thing is really the most over-covered story, because they believe that money, by both the candidates and by outside groups, spending on TV ads, people are so tuned off to it now. I have a 10-year-old son who likes to watch YouTube videos, and beginning YouTube videos, little cartoons on YouTube, he sees a political ad, almost every time, and he turns to me and sees voting and says, "Dad, I can't take this anymore." I think that's pretty typical and common of actual voting age folks, at least here in North Carolina.
I had no idea there were YouTube ads now, too.
They don't spend a lot of time figuring out which videos they'll be attached to, so he's watching, 3-minute cartoons with 2-minute video or political ads that begin them.
And it's a waste of money. He's 10 years old.
You would think so.
Right. Unless they're looking at future voters. Dave DeWitt, our guest, the first part of this hour, he is Raleigh Bureau Chief for the North Carolina Public Radio, and he's covering the convention in Charlotte. Our phone number, let's go to some phone calls for him, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook is the Kathleen Dunn Show. The convention kicks off tonight. The First Lady will be speaking tonight. The mayor of San Antonio is the keynote speaker, has a very interesting background. Mayor Julian Castro will be speaking. Who are you most excited to listen to, and what do you see as the president's mission this week? What does he need to accomplish? Should he talk about accomplishments of the past 4 years? Should he talk about differences in vision? Should he outline what he wants to do in the next 4 years? What do you think? We want to hear from you this hour as well. We will have other guests. Lloyd Grove will be joining us, editor-at-large for the Daily Beast, also at the convention. And the last part of the hour, Melissa Harris-Perry, host of MSNBC's Melissa Harris-Perry television program. Lines are open for you, and we'll go to you in just a moment with your calls for Dave. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're going to go to your phone calls. Some lines are open. Let's hear from you this hour as the Democratic National Convention begins. I guess the other question, although I don't want to spend the whole hour on this, should something be done with a chair? I guess you got to answer that. Should something humorous be done with that? What do you hope to see the Democrats do this week in Charlotte? 800-486-8655 is the number. Tim and Ladysmith, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I'm a little puzzled if the Democrats' best slogan is "it could have been worse." That's not much hope and change right there. That's pretty much we are in trouble and we don't have a clue. I think one of the things I'm curious with this president is, with the Democrats, is what their convention is going to look like, because I'm not so sure they can sell the whole thing that we've accomplished so much, because when you have 23 million people unemployed and unemployment is still skyrocketing and the economy is such in the tank, and you really have to lay the blame squarely at the feet of the president. If George Bush was in office, they'd have laid it at his feet. Any president deserves the blame for it, and he cannot take credit for stuff without taking the blame for that. So, thank you.
Thanks, Tim, for the call. Dave?
I mean, the point that I think the Democrats will make this week, and again, I'm talking just based on what people have been sort of talking about so far at a lot of the events, while I think you won't see necessarily them say it could have been a lot worse, that was sort of my words about what I'm hearing from people. What I think their message will be is much more about, this president saved tens of thousands of jobs. And if you pick just North Carolina, during the first couple of years, we saw a lot of layoffs of public school teachers. And that was lessened quite a bit by a lot of the federal involvement. Now, that was controversial here as it was in other states. But, I think you'll see him point to a lot of the folks who have jobs today because of the involvement of the stimulus package and other things that would not have had jobs. And it certainly is a tough sell for Democrats, without a doubt. It's a terrible economy. And a lot of people, analysts a lot smarter than me, have said that any kind of economy like this is almost assured of a president losing re-election.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly true for President Carter, going back almost a century. And so it's a tall order. it's a tough message to send, for sure. But that, I think, obviously is the most important message that the Democrats have to deal with at this convention.
He has, those who study this say that he started his presidency bringing together moderates and conservatives and liberals to create something different. And it didn't work because of the makeup of Congress right now. So he has now been described as being in a kind of war footing and being much more direct with what his message is, particularly increasing the tax burden for the wealthy, talking about the stimulus program and how it worked, et cetera. Do you notice a shift in the message that he is presenting, and does he need to make that even more dramatic?
You know, where I see the biggest shift in sort of the message he is presenting is sort of in the persona of former President Bill Clinton. 4 years ago, obviously, he was running against President Obama was running against his wife, so it was a much more contentious relationship. But I've been reading and seeing and talking to people about all these parallels that the Republicans are trying to draw between President Obama and President Carter. But the Democrats are much more interested in talking about the parallels between his presidency and that of President Clinton. Some of the differences, of course, are there, too. But what's interesting is clearly that President Obama is a little more moderate in his last 4 years as president than a lot of the liberal Democrats would have liked.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear that throughout the streets of this convention, that, oh, I wish he had done more. You know, here in North Carolina, for example, we had an amendment, a constitutional amendment that was passed banning gay marriage. He did not make make a comment about that until after that amendment was voted on, was when he came out in favor of gay marriage about a week later. That angered some of the more liberal folks here in North Carolina. If he had come out earlier, would that have made a difference? It was an 18-point vote, so it probably wouldn't have made a difference, but it would have been symbolic for sure. So he's in a difficult position, even with within his own party, but he did build a coalition in this state at least, and he only won this state by 14,000 votes in 2008. He built a coalition of African-American voters, people who have moved in from out of the state who tend to vote more moderate or liberal. And those two sort of constituencies, if you will, carried him to a narrow victory here in North Carolina. You know, North Carolina has no unions to speak of. We have the lowest rate of unionization in the country. And so that base really isn't here for him. What he did build a coalition was, you know, that sort of the move-ins from the north and the African Americans. That coalition is different in other states, but we've seen that coalition start to fall apart a little bit, not by much, but enough to overcome a 14,000 deficit.
Let's go to Michael in Milwaukee. Hello, Michael. Whoa, Michael, hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
I think that the message that the Democrats have to get across at the convention and from now until the election is the fact that, all things considered, I think the president did a very good job. I think, let's face it, he inherited a mess. The whole economy was in collapse. We were on the verge of another depression, and the fact that the message has to keep being hammered on that the Republican Party's whole platform over the last 3 years or so has been to make this president fail. They have done everything they can to make this president look bad, and that's the message that has to go out there. Let's face it, jobs. You know what? The economy is kind of goofy because employers don't want to hire people. The people that are working, they've got them working long hours, 7 days a week. They don't want to hire people for whatever reason. The whole world economy is bad. Let's not forget that Europe is bad. China's bad. The whole world economy is bad. And to blame this president for the mess that the whole world is in is unconscionable.
Thank you, Michael. Dave.
You know, one of the more interesting sort of, you know, conversations I've heard here, and this is a big banking center here in Charlotte. Bank of America has their headquarters here. Wells Fargo has their East Coast headquarters here. One of the more interesting points that I've heard from different people, and I don't know how it's an argument that certainly can be made, is that a lot of employers, while they're, the stock prices have been doing okay, they're sort of flush with cash. Even Bank of America has turned it around somewhat. But, you know, a lot of these larger corporations are flush with cash and have held off to see how the economy would go and to see how the election will go before they start hiring people back in large numbers. I don't know how true that is. Economists have sort of argued about that. But here on the streets of the convention, that's a big topic of conversation, that if President Obama can win, you're going to see people get hired back who've been waiting to see how the election ends up. And it goes also, if Mitt Romney wins the election, you're going to see employers begin to hire people back. They believe that's true sort of right around the corner, which adds a certain level of angst to people here, Democrats here, who believe that, you know, if you believe in any kind of conspiracy theories and these kinds of things in businesses, that the larger businesses have been sort of working against the president in this way. Certainly a lot of these businesses are flush with cash and can begin to possibly hire people back after the election. That's certainly a topic of conversation I've heard multiple times here this week.
Dave DeWitt, Raleigh Bureau Chief for North Carolina Public Radio, our guest for a few more minutes, covering, of course, the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte. Congresswoman Gwen Moore is going to be one of the keynote speakers. She will be joining us momentarily. And Melissa Harris-Perry will join us later, host of her television show on MSNBC and a professor at Tulane University. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. What do the Democrats need to do this week in Charlotte to make people more likely to vote for them rather than the Republicans? Jim and Cable, hi.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment that originally, I believe several years ago, the president promised to create jobs, and now the rhetoric is, we've created jobs by saving jobs. So I don't see any progress in that area. Also, many, or maybe all, of the jobs that were saved were union jobs at the expense of the taxpayers. How does that relate to me? I'm 67 years old. I'm retired, living on a fixed income. And in the last 3 years, I have my income is down $17,000 a year. Thank you.
Dave.
Well, you know, I think the argument that would be made, and I'm not making the arguments for the Democratic Party for sure, but, you know, here in the state of North Carolina, as I mentioned, there are essentially no unions. They do not collectively bargain. And a lot has been made here about the public school teachers and other public, public employees whose jobs have been saved. And I think you can make that argument pretty convincingly that tens of thousands of public school teachers have jobs today because of the stimulus package. And that stimulus money is going away. And we've seen here in North Carolina, at least, the state legislature has, had to bump up some of its funding just to keep a percentage of those public school teachers employed. For folks who are in the situation that the caller mentioned, if that person has a grandson who's going to be in a class that is, instead of having 35 students in it, may have 22 students in it, that's a big difference. And it does mean also that, especially in the rural areas here in North Carolina, and I would assume in Wisconsin and other parts of the country, teachers have a huge economic impact in smaller communities in this country because they are, employed, they make a decent income, although it's very middle class, especially here in North Carolina. And those folks have some spending money that they can have in those communities. So, here I think the argument the Democrats have made, and they have made it now for 2 years, is that those folks have jobs because of the stimulus. Now, there's a big and a very good argument to make on the other side about how that, it hasn't been a good use of money. But it certainly is true that those jobs were saved by the stimulus.
How did North Carolina get the convention if it's a non-union state?
Well, it got it because Democrats, when they made the choice, they won the state in 2008 by a slim margin.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to keep it, but they also believed that they were beginning to crack open the South a little bit. At this point, Republicans have a solid hold on the South. They didn't win North Carolina or Virginia, and Florida is its own entity. But they have a solid, base in the South. And if you look at the electoral maps and if you really study them, if the Republicans begin to lose any of the South, either through this sort of coalition of African-American voters and move-ins and other things, then that is a real hit to the Republicans. So it was an aggressive choice, for sure, to put the Democratic convention here in Charlotte. Whether it will pay off or not, it remains to be seen. In this state, like I said, Romney has a slight lead. Most polls show that. Whether there will be a bump in this state from the convention, most people don't think so, only because the convention really is a national and international event.
Right.
Where it's held really doesn't have that great an impact on the local voting. That's been proven in different places. But when they chose that, they really believed that it was sort of an inroad to maybe cracking the Republicans. Hmm.
Well, we'll watch. Dave, thank you so much for being with us. Have a rip-roaring great week in Charlotte.
Thanks. My
Thanks.
Pleasure.
Dave DeWitt, Raleigh Bureau Chief for North Carolina Public Radio, our first guest. Congresswoman Gwen Moore, Brett and Rhonda have been able to locate. She is speaking at the Democratic National Convention from Wisconsin, of course, and she is going to join us momentarily. And Melissa Harris-Perry, commentator and host of her television show on MSNBC and a professor of political science at Tulane University, will be joining us as well. And all of your phone calls are still applicable. Please bear with me. We'll weave them in as we can as we get our various guests on the air, and your calls, your comments will stand for anybody who is joining us. They'll be fine. 800-486-8655 is the number. The email is talk@WPR.org. And please leave messages for us on our Facebook page, because it's ever so fun to find out what you're thinking. And that is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Congresswoman Gwen Moore will be joining us momentarily. We'll be doing an hour of our show each of the next 3 days devoted to the Democratic National Convention, as we did the Republican Convention. Congresswoman Gwen Moore from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello. Good morning to you.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? You sound pretty good.
Oh, I am feeling really good here. The atmosphere is great. The delegates are enthusiastic. I'm at the hotel that's designated for Wisconsin delegates, but I have been out, and they had a fantastic block party yesterday to kick the thing off, and people seemed very, very ready to take to keep this thing.
When are you speaking, Congresswoman Moore?
I am speaking tonight between 6 and 7 Central Time.
Okay.
And Central Time.
Now, do you want to give us a little glimmer of what you're going to talk about?
Yes, Kathleen. I'm going to talk about the Violence Against Women Act. I was the chief author of the Violence Against Women Act, which was an exact identical bill to the Senate version of the Violence Against Women Act. And the Republicans, Ms. Adams, who, of course, was defeated in her primary, passed a version in the House that the Senate wouldn't take up, and there's been no conference committee to report that bill out. And it's a shame, Kathleen, because the Violence Against Women Act that I introduced, and of course the Senate passed, was a version that incorporated the best practices of really left-wing groups like the Fraternal Order of the Police, district attorneys, and the FBI, which said that we needed to expand the definitions and sort of targets for services to Native women, women who lived on Native lands, because there was a gap in enforcement on tribal lands, that we needed to include language that made it really clear that gay and lesbian people were covered by the Violence Against Women Act. And most certainly, we needed to offer some protection for those immigrants who cooperated with law enforcement officials to make sure that even though they were immigrants, perhaps even undocumented, that there would not be a sort of open season on undocumented women, that we would use the U visa process to ensure, number one, their cooperation with law enforcement and their protection. And the Republicans dug in ideologically and decided not to do it. In addition to that, we wanted on college campuses for young women, for colleges and universities to have a policy in place to protect young women who are, targets of violence. Just couldn't get these things done.
Congresswoman Moore, are women the key to this election? If a lot more women go out and vote, will the president be reelected?
You know, Kathleen, I think that you are raising the point. Women are we are the majority of the population. We're the majority of the electorate. And I think in 2010, we saw about a 15% drop-off in voting among women. You know, I totally agree with Ann Romney. I mean, we're the grandmothers, we're the mothers, we're the daughters, we're the sisters. We're the ones picking up the kids from daycare and visiting mama in the nursing home, fixing dinner, and we get overwhelmed after we've done our 9-to-5 job or our 7-to-3 job. We take on a lot of responsibility. And I think that the extent to which women of all age groups don't come out and vote or do vote will actually have a huge impact on the outcome. Because clearly, when you look at everything from health care to Social Security and Medicare, the Violence Against Women Act, contraception, Pell Grants, I mean, women use Pell Grants to a much greater degree than men do. Social Security, Medicare, women use those programs to a much greater extent than men. Head Start, you just go down the line, Kathleen. Women have a lot at stake at every stage of their lives. It's not just about contraception. It's every stage of their lives. This budget and these Republicans are, I think that they're not necessarily trying to be mean, but they're clueless about the harm that they're bringing to women. I could go on in a food stamp.
All right,
two-thirds of the adults who use food stamps are women.
Let's take a couple of quick phone calls if we can for you before we go to Melissa Harris Perry. And let's start with Mary in Jana in Milwaukee. Hi, Jana.
Hi. Thank you, Congresswoman Moore. I think you make a great point talking about the importance of women. And I think that the Republicans have done a great job this year of spreading misinformation. And the fact that so many Republicans have been caught in lies and spewing misinformation, and the fact that the public is willing to accept it is very concerning. I think what the Democrats truly need to do is hold them accountable for that. I think they need to come out with very, very bold statements to correct that misinformation and use examples. And I think that the women voter base is extremely important to Barack Obama, and we truly have to empower women to understand what is the bottom line. You know, what are these reforms and Paul Ryan's budget? That is not the path to prosperity.
Okay, thank you. I need to hold you there because we're on a timeline here. Congresswoman Moore.
Well, Jenna, I mean, she said it so well. It is true, and I think that has been their calculation, that they have unlimited amounts of money that they can spend through the Citizens United decision. And so if you just keep on saying the same thing over and over and over again, whether it's true or not, people tend to believe it. It's a fantastic marketing strategy. Romney has said he's a business genius. And so it doesn't matter if you just keep lying about the president taking $719 billion out of benefits for Medicare. What he took out actually were profits to the insurance company, as an example. Little known, Jenna, I've been on the budget committee with Paul Ryan for 5 years. Little known is that he does have in his budget instructions that for every year the Social Security fund is out of balance, in a 75-year window, we have to make cuts to Social Security. So Social Security is on the table as well, but they can just keep fibbing, and they will have enough money, far more than the president will be able to generate, to continue to, to pound us for the next 60-some-odd days with this misinformation.
Congresswoman Gwen Moore, thank you so much for being with us. We'll watch you tonight sometime between 6 and 7, right?
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Congresswoman Gwen Moore, who is one of the featured speakers tonight, she said she wanted to make sure you knew it's between 6 and 7 o'clock Central Time. She will be speaking this evening. Her address, remarks will be about the Violence Against Women Act. We're going to continue. Melissa Harris-Perry will be joining us, host of MSNBC's Melissa Harris-Perry. She also is at the Democratic National Convention and will take more phone calls. 800-486-8655 is the number. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program, we'll talk about whether or not we can get a whole lot of wind power, wind energy from Lake Michigan. Several stakeholders in the Great Lakes energy industry are funding a new research project. The Wind Sentinel Research Platform, located in the middle of Lake Michigan, and we'll learn all about that and find out whether or not this could be a big source of alternate energy for us, the second hour of our program. We're welcoming phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, as we did with the Republican National Convention. An hour of our program each day this week, Tuesday through Thursday, we'll be looking at the Democratic Convention. Are there speakers you are particularly excited to listen to? What do you see as the mission that needs to be accomplished these 3 days in Charlotte, North Carolina? We welcome your phone calls. 800-486-8655. And I'll just listen to you. We'll just take a couple phone calls right now. Kamlish in Milwaukee. Hi, Kamlish.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's a great show. Before I start, let me say I'm a very fiscally conservative person, but very socially liberal. So I don't know if you call that an independent nowadays. I would like to make a comment about the economy. When a lot of these Republican speakers or so-called conservative persons talking about how are we better off now 4 years from when President Barack Obama was elected, to all these people who are having this question, I would like to ask them to close their eyes and look back and think back 4 years ago where we were in terms of what the economy was. The whole economy was decimated. Every evening when we get back from work, you see the stock market swings about 1,000 points, which was enormous at that time, which was everybody was spooked with that. Big institutions going under. You go to bed, wake up in the morning with the worry that, okay, do I still have my job? That was a position where we were 4 years ago. Compared to that, today, yes, we are better off. I mean, as a fiscally conservative person, I think, yes, we are. Any economy would grow slowly. It would take, like it's a bank account. It takes time to save and shore up the bank account, but it would take just a few hours or days to spend the whole thing. We spent 8 years of unlimited spending before President Barack Obama came. It takes time to slow it down and grow the economy. If I was looking for a quick fix, get rich deals, that would be like a Ponzi scheme. That's what the others or the Republicans are advocating now. I don't believe in it. I believe in a strong economy that takes time to grow and prosper. That's all my comments.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call again.
Thank you, Kamlish, very much for your call. Patricia in Madison, hi.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I'm bothered by many of the callers blaming the Republicans for disseminating misinformation, and Democratic sides are always saying that Obama had a difficult Congress to work with. Well, for the first 2 years of his administration, he had a totally Democratic Congress. And that Congress, those 2 years, spent all their time on developing Obamacare. So he could have gotten a lot of things done in those first 2 years, and they were wasted.
So you're going Republican. Will the Democratic Convention make any difference in your thinking, or are you pretty solidly where you're going to be?
No, I've listened to the Republican ones. I'll listen to the Democratic one also. But, I mean, there's enough Pinocchios to go around on both sides.
You're like me, though. You love the conventions. I love watching them. I just love watching them. I watch them for hours and hours and hours and hours. Thanks, Sam, very much for your call, Patricia. We have lines open. We're asking the question, what do you want the Democrats to give you during the course of the next few days? What should be their focus? Who are you particularly excited about hearing the next couple days? Amy is next in Milwaukee. Hi, Amy.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to know if the Democrats have any plans on talking about the war in Afghanistan. I think that the Republicans kind of left the door open a little bit. They did not mention it at all at their entire convention. And so I thought, you know what, this is a chance for the Democrats to bring it up and to talk about it. I mean, there's a war going on. and it affects a lot of people. So I just think it's important. I hope that they bring it up.
And, you know, I wonder if they will, because it's a war that is somewhat controversial and it's gone on for such a long period of time. Do you think that it would behoove them not to say too much about it because a lot of people think that it's not going well?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that they've made, honestly, I don't know a whole heck of a lot about it, but I know that there are a lot of Americans still over there and we're trying to bring them home. And I think someone's got to talk about it. It's, you know, it's out there a lot. People are still dying over there. People want their sons and daughters back. So why not be the party that says, hey, you know, we're working on it. We're trying to get them back here for you.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks.
Thanks very much for the call. The other thing that, of course, the president will probably deliver on, he has said that the mistake of his first couple of years was thinking that the job was just about getting the policy right. That's important, he said recently. But the nature of this office is also to tell a story to the American people that gives them a sense of unity and purpose and optimism, especially during tough times. And I think that you can probably count on the fact that he will deliver an address that will try to lift spirits, that sense of optimism, which was so much front and center. It was a campaign of hope, wasn't it, in 2008, will be woven into his address in some way on Thursday of this week. Let's go next to Ed in Milwaukee. Hi, Ed.
Good morning.
Hi.
My comment is that I often wonder if the American electric public out here is smarter than a fifth grader. There is a website called politifact.org which will find out the truths or the falsehoods of both what the Democrats and the Republicans are putting out. And people need to go to this site. It's won a Pulitzer Prize for its reporting. And my other comment is agrees with the previous caller about they just keep lying over and over and over, and eventually people fall for it. People need to take a serious look at the outright lie about Medicare, the money being taken out of Medicare. It's an outright lie is what it is. And also for the fact that the president is getting us out of a war that we had no business being in at all. The special forces could have taken out bin Laden. That's my comment.
All right, Ed, thank you. Thanks for the call. David in Ironwood. Hi, David.
Yeah, I heard someplace that the top 1% is like $300 trillion worldwide. If they just took half of that, divided by, you know, 6 billion people, that they could give everyone a $25,000 raise, and it'd be zero unemployment.
So you would be in favor of taxing the wealthy at a greater rate, obviously. Stating the obvious. Pardon?
Send the money or tax away.
All right. Thank you, David.
All right. Bye.
Bye. We have time for a couple more phone calls. If you'd like to join our conversation, the lines were jammed, but they are open now. Our number is 800-486-8655. We're covering the Democratic National Convention this week. We will be listening. I know that there are a lot of people in the audience who follow this as carefully as we do. And so please join us again tomorrow as we will respond to what we hear tonight. There will be major speeches tonight. Michelle Obama is speaking. You heard Congresswoman Gwen Moore from Wisconsin saying she will be one of the platform speakers tonight, sometime between the hour of 6 and 7. And a lot is being said of the mayor of San Antonio, who is the keynote speaker tonight, Mayor Julian Castro, mayor of San Antonio, a young man who has a very interesting life story and is a twin, actually. His mom, you got to love moms like this, took her sons to political gatherings and made them politically conscious at a very, very young age. So he will be speaking tonight as well. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock, we will analyze what we heard tonight. Paul in Madison, hi.
Hi. Just wanted to respond to the caller who made the comment that President Obama had a Democratic-controlled Congress. In a sense, he did, but it was not filibuster-proof. And thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call. 800-486-8655. Jeff in Superior. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. I just have a comment. I think Wisconsin has a long tradition of supporting progressive ideas and policies in politics. And I'm really surprised that Wisconsin voters are swayed by Romney and Ryan and Walker and all that. I just want to say that because I think we'll hear in the Democratic Convention some real progressive ideas that are good for Wisconsin.
Well, don't you think we go both ways, that we're progressive and we're also conservative at times?
I understand that. But I think when we look to the future, I think the Democrats have better ideas. I think they're on the side of people and not business and exploiting workers and things like that.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for your call. All right. Well, the convention begins, and we will tomorrow during a 9 o'clock hour talk about the speeches, particularly the speeches from the keynote speaker and from the First Lady Michelle Obama. Last week, we had a guest analyze Ann Romney's speech, and it was an interesting, I think it was a half hour, wasn't it? Interesting conversation. We'll do the same tomorrow for First Lady Michelle Obama's address and watch a lot of speakers and talk some more politics tomorrow during our 9 o'clock hour. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers, who produce this show, and thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. We have news coming up momentarily from National Public Radio, and we'll continue with the second hour of our program looking at alternative sources of energy. We have this huge body of water just a couple miles from where I sit, Lake Michigan. Can we get enough wind power from that lake to make a difference in our energy needs? That's coming up.